today talking second part in our series on meditation. And there's different kinds of meditation, but the most broad general kinds of meditation is called hitbonenut. Hitbonenut is litbonen, to think, to ponder. And there's another kind of meditation called hitbodedut. Hitbodedut is more like a private kind of meditation. The person's alone. And boded, from the word boded. But we're going to talk about more in detail. But in general, what is hitbonenut? So here we have the Rambam in two different places. Talks about a kind of general kind of hitbonenut, which is kind of pondering and meditating. And he talks about this in the context of loving Hashem. How do you love Hashem? So he says, and this is in the Yesod HaTorah, in his Foundations of the Torah, chapter 2. Ha'el HaNichbad, the great God and the wondrous God, Vanara, has a mitzvah le'avo, and is a mitzvah to love God, as we say in the Shema, ve'avta Hashem Elokecha, u'lira oto, and it's a mitzvah to fear God, shne'emar, ve'avta Hashem Elokecha, ve'emar et Hashem Elokecha tira, your God you will fear. So there's a mitzvah to love God and fear God. We all know there's a mitzvah to love God and fear God, which are two of the constant mitzvot, out of six constant mitzvot. Mitzvah to love God and fear God, but the question is, how does a person get to that level? How do you fear God? How do you love God? So the answer is only by pondering. Only by thinking and pondering and meditating about certain things would a person come to that level. So the question is, what does a person need to ponder to get to the level? So Rama tells us, how does a person get to the stage where they can love God and they can fear God? And now use this word, hitboninut. Peshash hitbonen. It's interesting. Ari Kaplan, when he talks about meditation, he says, and we've lost the language of meditation. There's code words in the Torah referring to meditation. And here's one of the code words. Beregashit bonen. The word bina. Bina means understanding, right? We pray every day, right? Chokhmah bina v'dat, right? Or bina dat v'haskil. Whatever. Different ways of putting it. So, hitbonenut is a kind of meditation which is pondering deeply what's going on around. Let's discuss that. When a person will meditate and ponder, what will a person ponder? When a person will ponder God's works, and God's creations, haniflaim, the wondrous ones, hagdoli, massive ones. We're talking about the wonders of creation. We're outside. Trouble is today we're not close to creation. We're very far away from creation. Why? Because we're sitting inside our offices, sitting outside our houses, using man-made things, cars, iPads, i-this, and computers, and we're far away from God's creation. We're very far away from God's creation. And even God's creation, we think, science. It's all science. Science knows all about this stuff. It's not really, there's no God even. It's like we're so far removed from God. And this is one of the secrets of why all our greats were shepherds. All our greats were shepherds. Why? Because there's plenty of time to ponder God's magnificent works. You're sitting outside in the fields, in the dark, especially at night, you're seeing all the stars. It's amazing how many stars there are. We don't even see the stars because we have all the lights around us. And we can't even see the stars. But on a clear night, a person can see at least 6,000 stars. At least 6,000. I was once driving to Canada. I've said this many times. I was once driving to Canada. And I stopped on the way. In a pit stop over there, there's this, what do they call them? Rest stops. But this rest stop was pitch black. They put off the lights. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. They put off all the lights. We get out of the car and, wow, stars. I've never seen so many stars in my life. Wow. Then you see the wonders of God's creation. You see stars blanketing the sky. Stars blanketing the sky. You don't see that. You come out of here, you see 4, 5, 10. How many stars can you see in a night? Why? Because the light of the background lights is so powerful, you don't see the stars. So you go over there, you say, wow, it's amazing. Then you see Marabu Maaseh Hashem, what David HaMelech says, how great are your works, Hashem. So that brings a person, when a person thinks about God's creation, God wonders. The wondrous creations of God. And we'll see God's wisdom. Now today, it's interesting because the more we know much more than they knew in those days. We know today, in those days they thought maybe there's 6,000 stars. I don't know. And that's why the promise that God gave to Abraham is so amazing. Hashem says, you're going to have children like the stars of the sky, like the sand of the seashore. And we know sand and seashore, Abraham Avinu was there, there's trillions and trillions of sand. But how many stars in the sky? There's only 6,000. Doesn't match. Today we know that there's as many stars in the sky as there is sand in the seashore. It's trillions and trillions of stars. It's hard to imagine, right? But we know more than that now. We know that today there's trillions and trillions of atoms on a needle head, on a pinhead. As many stars in the sky, there are as many atoms on a pinhead. I mean, the universe in a microcosm is as great as the universe in a macrocosm, sometimes even greater. It's amazing. So nanotechnology today is a new field, right? Going down into the nanotechnology, which is nano particles. So by a person seeing the greatness of God's creation, a person's got to ponder it. That's why we don't pay attention. We don't ponder it. We go outside, see a blue sky, and you see the trees, and that. Okay, big deal. Seen it before. We don't really ponder it. It doesn't really affect us. That's what meditation is all about. Meditation is internalizing and thinking until it affects us. It has to affect us. So he says, we see God's wonders and the knowledge and wisdom of God. That has no erech, there's no measurement of God's wisdom. Look at the design involved in this. All the colors, just see the colors. How God designed fruits. The packaging and the texture and the flavor and the smell. It's amazing. It all comes together. And every fruit is different. No two fruits are the same. There's thousands of kinds of fruits. All the insects and all. You go to the zoo and see all the varieties of animals God created. Well, why did God create such a complex world? Why did He need to create such a complex world? So many thousands and thousands of varieties. Why? And the answer is, we think God is very simple. We say, God, big deal. God created one man, one woman, and two plants. God says, no, I'm not so simple. It's a complex world. It's a complex reality down here. It's a much more complex reality up there. Everything up down here mirrors what's up there as well. So it's a very complex reality. It shows God's brilliance. And so that's what he says. That's what Rambam tells us. He says, a person should bonin. A person's got to meditate. A person's got to meditate and ponder God's great creations and his wonders. And we'll see from there God's wisdom. That's infinite wisdom. Straight away, he says, a person will love and praise God and desire to know the great name of God. This is amazing. So obviously, if we're not doing this, it's not affecting us. We're not doing it properly. It's not affecting us. A person goes outside and sees the wonders of God's creation. It doesn't let him affect him. It's not really pondering it. It's not really affecting them. So that we're not meditating about it. So a person's got to go and meditate. So even the scientists who are studying this stuff are not overawed. It's amazing. The more they're into it, the less they know about God. The less they worry about it, the less they think about God. It's amazing. It seems to be a complete contradiction. The more a person should study and see the wonders of creation, they should say, wow, amazing, God is amazing. I want to know more about this. I want to know more about Hashem. And that's what David HaMelech said, Tzama nafshi le'Elohim le'Elchai. I'm thirsty for God, the great living God. And straight away, when a person thinks about these things, he'll be scared. Say, wow, God is so awesome. The awesomeness of God. And the truth is, when you see space, it's awesome. It really is awesome. I don't know. These astronauts, some astronauts were changed, and some astronauts didn't care. You know, they asked the Russian astronauts, you see God up there? He said, no, we didn't see this old man on the chair. We didn't see an old man on the chair. The idea of God was an old man on the chair. Obviously, they didn't see an old man on the chair in the space. So it depends what a person's perception of God is. Did you see God or not? It was a perception of God. What perception of God do you have in your head? Are you able to see him or not? Obviously, if there's a God you can't see, obviously, you see a God of creation. It's amazing. Can you imagine being out in space and seeing all the... Soon they're going to have these space trips. Elon Musk wants to send people up. You know, two guys will go up around the moon and come back. But what's the benefit of doing that? I mean, it's crazy. You're a train. You got to be an astronaut. You got to be fit to be able to do that. What's the advantage? The advantage is to go into space and see God's creation closer, close up. There's no atmosphere blocking your view of the stars. It's amazing. It must be really amazing. See the planets close up. It's amazing. Scary. You ever see Jupiter? It's a very scary planet. There's explosions going on. It's the sun. How many hydrogen bombs every second? How many? Eight? Eight a second or more? I can't remember. It's massive. It's a ball of fire. It's explosions going on all the time. Hydrogen bombs going on. It's amazing. And here we are. Big deal. What's the problem? So what happens is, when a person witnesses a thunderstorm, they see a power of God. That's not even the power of God. It's a little teeny little bit of energy. It's just a lightning bolt making a big noise. But it's a teeny bit of energy, but it's awesome. You know, just small things like that. That's when a person really gets scared. A little earthquake. I say, wow, this is just a little inkling of what God's power is. So then a person should feel some fear and feel some awe of Hashem. And a person should know, Shubriyak Tana, that's the trouble, our egos are so big. I'm talking about human beings, egos are so big. A person should realize we're just small creatures, Shfela, Afela, Omede Bedad Kala, with small minds, like in front of God. I had a friend of mine in Yeshiva, he would always go like this. Go like this. So what's going on? He says, so my mind is like small. But that's what I'm saying. All our minds are small. Compared to God, our minds are tiny. Relative to God, our minds are small. So can you imagine, a person goes out in the fields and thinks these thoughts. How many people think these thoughts? You go out in the field, beautiful day, you go outside, you see. It's amazing. We're not exposed to nature. Not enough. We should be more exposed to nature. It's good to go out in the forest and the lakes and sea, and in the summertime especially. And in fact, I saw a beautiful in the Jewish Observer, which is like the Aguda, they used to have a journal every month. And over here, here's one of the greats, Rav Yosef David Epstein, who's a student of Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai, in Europe, in Shanghai. One of the students of Rav Yerucham Levovitz, who's one of the most famous mashkiachs of Mir Yeshiva. And he's the one saying it. He said, contemplation of Creator's greatness constitutes one of the 630 commandments according to Rabbeinu Yonah. Contemplating Hashem's creation. Yeshayahu the prophet says also, lift up your eyes and see who created all this. So he says, granted, during the major part of the year, intensive Torah study takes precedence. But what happens in the summertime, at least in the summertime, is go out into the world and see, contemplate God's creation as a means of strengthening one's faith in God and achieving love for God. Amazing. So this is in the Aguda newspaper. A person should go. I mean, this is Rambam. That's what Rambam is saying. Rambam says a person should go and contemplate. How does a person get to love of God? If we don't contemplate nature, we'll never get to love of God. We've got to contemplate God's creatures and see the creatures that God made. See the wondrous things in a person's own body. Every time a person goes to the bathroom, I'm a flea love sword. Amazing. A person goes to the bathroom. It's amazing. We have all these orifices and crevices in the body and all the veins and the arteries and all the other things. All it takes one little blockage and the guy is finished. That's it. And one of them closes, one of them opens. It's just a wondrous system. It's how many systems in the body? I mean, I don't know how many specialists there are today. Especially for lungs and the heart and this and that. There are 16 different specialties at least. It's such a complex system. So a person's got to say, listen, wow, this is amazing. Hashem created this. Hashem designed this. How many people sitting in a room can be able to design such a thing? Impossible to design you. To create an organism that grows by itself is created, in a sense. And grows by itself, and the skin rejuvenates. Imagine a car gets into an accident, and the car starts healing itself. It doesn't happen. You know? Can you imagine the car is now organic? It can eat grass. It can eat things. You put anything you want into it, and it fuels itself. It's amazing.
It has babies.
Huh?
And has babies, too.
Oh, boy. Wouldn't that be great? You have a little Chevy. My Chevy's giving birth today. Okay. So this is amazing. This is something which we don't ponder. That's the trouble. That's the lack of meditation. That's the problem today, is we don't think enough. We don't meditate enough. We don't ponder these things enough. So it's something small, which is something really big. It's not something small, it's something big. That we don't spend enough time in nature pondering God. We're spending time in nature kicking a ball, but not pondering God. People spend time in nature, they go climbing mountains, they don't really ponder God and they climb the mountain. That's the problem. So what's the point? The point of climbing, going out to nature is to ponder, is to think. And so the Hasidim were very big on this, going into the forest and finding God in the forest, looking around in nature and finding God. So that's one way of meditating and finding, getting close to love and fear of God. And then he goes into more details, which I'll leave to you to go through. This is in the Yisrael Torah Perek Bet. But there's another section in the Positive Commandments. And this is also mitzvah number 3. So mitzvah number 1 is to know there's a God. Number 2 is to believe there's one God. Number 3 is the mitzvah of loving God. So over here, he gives a slightly different kind of meditation. It's interesting. Two different meditations. One meditation is to meditate on nature. The first meditation. But in mitzvah number 3, he gives a different meditation. So mitzvah number 3 is, Shizvani be'avato yitale. Now, Rambam's list of mitzvot are not in order of the Torah. That's Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch goes in order of the Torah. Rambam's Sefer Mitzvot is based on what he considers more important. So the most important, obviously, is to know God. So that's number one. Number two is there's unity, one God. Number three is to love God. It's amazing how it's so important. It's fundamentals. Number three on his list. How does a person get to love of God? So he gives a different meditation. Again, the magic word, the key word to remember is nidbonen. Nidbonen, hidbonenut. To ponder. B'mitzvotav mamarav. Wow, totally different. Not nature. Thinking about God's mitzvot and God's sayings and statements. Pulotav. And God's actions. So there's a second kind of meditation, which is Torah. Basically Torah. Learning Torah. Learning Torah is a meditation. People don't realize that. When a person is learning Torah, they should always be thinking about what's going on. Sometimes we just read, we don't think. The mind's got to be in it, thinking. What are we thinking about? Thinking about the mitzvot. I was thinking about, you know, how righteous the mitzvot are. It's amazing how Hashem's mitzvot are so righteous. It's hard to do them because they're so righteous. Mamarav, God's sayings, statements. God's actions. Until a person gets to the point where they're nehene b'hasagato b'tachlit hana, until they have pleasure from this knowledge. So a person not having pleasure from learning Torah, they're not learning Torah properly. Because the Torah is like a drug. For those who learn Torah properly, you see these greats, they just can't stop. They can't stop. They're stuck to the Torah. I had a guy once, his name was Rabbi Blau. I don't know if you heard of him. Did I talk about him once? Rabbi Blau was, at that time, he was a very old man when I knew him. He used to come to Vancouver. When I was in Vancouver, he used to stay with me. I had a real pleasure, a real honor to see. And my other kids, the older kids, they saw him and it really left a big impact on them. Because this guy was glued to a book. He was glued to his Gemara. It was like, the guy never left his Gemara. It's like, he went everywhere to his Gemara. I'm driving him, whatever. He's reading his Gemara. His eyes are in the book. All the time. He's glued to the book. Basically glued to the book. Amazing. So what is he doing? And the answer is he's pondering every word of Gemara. He's pondering every word of Torah. The person should be pondering the words of Torah. Where is it going to get me? How does it get me closer to God? How am I understanding more of God by learning this Torah? What does that teach me about God? So usually what happens is we learn Torah because we're practical people. We want to do the mitzvot. Truth. Right, that's good. But the other question we have to ask is, why did God give us the mitzvah? How is this mitzvah going to bring me closer to God? What does it teach me about God? And that's what the Rambam is telling us. That when a person learns about the mitzvah, and he sees, learns about God's actions, God saved us from Egypt, and God did this for Abraham, he gave us the man, he gave us the water, he's kind and generous, right? He fed Adam and Chava, and he gave them clothes, right? He buried Moshe Rabbeinu himself. It's amazing. Until a person gets pleasure from their knowledge. And that is the love that will bring a person to God. So a person loves the Torah, a person loves God's teachings, will eventually love God. It brings it closer to love God. So interesting. Zot yahavat ha-miyuchevet. And that's the love which is obligatory. So in other words, the love through the Torah, by learning Torah, brings a person closer to Hashem. So a person says, wow, this is so beautiful. This is what I learned today, so beautiful. I love God. A person should say those words. I love God. Bring a person to love of God. It says, you love the Lord God. Where does it say how to love God? It doesn't tell you the mechanism. Sefri says it does. The next line. These words should be on your heart. There is a connection between loving God and the word should be on your heart, which means Talmud Torah. So how does a person love God? And the answer the Sifri tells us, Sifri is the Halachic Midrash. The Sifri says, it tells you the next verses. These words should be on your heart. The words which I'm commanding you today should be on your heart. Through these words you will know, realize who is God, who created the world. So interesting, totally different. Two different ways of coming to love of God. One is through nature, and the other one is through Torah. Amazing. Two different ways, but only through meditation. But it doesn't meditate about it, doesn't ponder them, will not reach these levels. So it's very easy. Okay, so a lot of people just give lip service. Learn Torah. I'm learning Torah. Okay, I'm learning Torah. Even if I'm learning Torah in order to do it, which is very high, And in order to teach it, but it's not really penetrating me, not bringing me to love of God, I didn't reach really the purpose of the Torah. The purpose of the Torah is a much higher purpose, and that is also to create connection to us, between us and the giver of the Torah. If I'm learning Torah without being connected to the giver of the Torah, I didn't really fulfill the whole purpose. So it's very, very critical. This is something which is not taught enough in yeshivot. This idea is not taught, it was not taught at me at all. This idea is not mentioned. Learning Torah in order to get closer to God, in order to get to love of Hashem, is not taught in yeshivot, unfortunately. So people learn Torah all day, but they don't really know where it's meant to lead. It's not taught to them. It's not given to them on a plate. So Rambam gives it to us on a plate. But not many people learn the Rambam, unfortunately. No yeshiva learn the Rambam. No, who learns Sefer HaMitzvot? You learn it on your own, you know, your own private time. It's a shame, tragedy. So anyway, it's a very, very important idea over here. So it's two different mechanisms to get to love of God. So let's see what Rambam says. It continues. So the key is, the Sifri says, you know, it's interesting, not many people quote the Sifri. Rambam quotes Sifri all the time. Sifri is halachic midrash. It's beautiful. Why? Because on the pasuk, it tells you the laws based on the verse. Here's the verse and here's the law. You have to learn how to hold the Gemara. It's right there on the pasuk. So the pasuk is, V'yavta Hashem Elokecha. How do I do it? So Sifri says, very simple. Continue. What does it say? The words I'm commanding you today should be on your heart. Through learning Torah, you're gonna know who created the world. You're gonna know the God who created the world. Okay, so then he continues, Rambam. Hine, bi'arnu lecha. I explain to you. Shahid bonenut. What's hid bonenut? Meditation. Meditation. This is the key word. I want to just try to repeat this key word. Hid bonenut. Shahid bonenut. Tale bi'adcha. Hasaka will give into your hands knowledge of God. Hear that? The pondering, the Torah, and trying to figure out what it's teaching me and how it's causing me to connect to Hashem will give you the knowledge. V'tagia hana'a, and from there you will get tremendous pleasure. And through that, v'tavua ahava bechrech, definitely will come love. Wow. So if we're not, if the Torah learning is not bringing us the love of God, we're not learning properly. Basically, that's it. And can you imagine? So when the rabbis learned Torah, when they really learned Torah, this is their ultimate goal, that the Torah should bring them closer to Hashem. So Torah, which brings a person closer to Hashem, that's Torah, that's real Torah. A person that's not doing the Torah properly, not learning Torah properly, is going to take them away from Hashem. You see people learning Torah. I see one guy learning Torah, and he goes further away from Hashem. You see another guy learning Torah, and he gets closer to Hashem. So one guy's learning Torah properly, one guy's not learning Torah properly. So Torah, which brings to love, that's the good Torah. That's Torah is being learned properly. Why? Because the guy is pondering the lessons of the Torah and pondering how the Torah brings him closer to Hashem. And then he goes into the next level. Okay, so now, a person says, I love God. What do I do with it? What do I do with that love? What is a person meant to do with the love of God? Kvar biyanu shezot ha-mitzvah gam kei kolel shenieh koreim levnei adam kulam lavorato. This mitzvah also tells us that we should also be calling out to other people to serve God as well. Kiruv. A person who loves God should also be involved with kiruv, to call out to other people to serve God and to believe in God. How do we know? Zeh she'ata she'tehav ish echad. If you love someone, taper v'shvachav. You'll always praise him to other people. And you'll ask other people to also love that person. You like so-and-so, you want other people to help also love so-and-so. And that's what we see. That's the Lashon of Sifri again. You should make him beloved on other people. Ki Avraham Avicha, just like Avraham Avicha, Shneema Avinu Nefesh Hashem Su Haran, like the souls that Avraham Avinu and Sarah made in Haran. He brought people closer to God. Interesting, this is an amazing idea. So how does a person get to love of God? Two mechanisms, two kinds of meditation. The first mechanism is the meditation on nature. And the second mechanism is meditation through the Torah, which is amazing, powerful. Two very powerful meditations the Rambam gives us, both to increase our love and fear of Hashem. Now, I want to go to another kind of meditation. which is, oh boy, this is in the Shulchan Aruch, which is interesting. We don't really think of the Shulchan Aruch as Kabbalistic and meditation. But the truth is, you cannot pray without meditation. How can a person pray without meditation? And here we come to another key word of meditation, and that is Kavana. Okay, so we had Hidbonenut twice, different contexts. The other key word is Kavana. And here the Shulchan Aruch says in chapter Sadichet, which is 98, in Or HaChaim, Hamitpalel Sarich Shichaven Belibo. A person who is praying. Sarich Shichaven. What's Shichaven? Kavana. Have Kavana, meditate. Meditate in his heart. What? Perush HaMilot. Very simple. The explanation of the words. What you're saying, try and think about the words you're saying. Very simple. It's so hard to do, but it's very simple, right? Perush HaMilot Shemotzi Bisfatav. Whatever you're saying, think about what you're saying. It's very hard to think about one saying. It's amazing. Because number one is, if we're not Israeli, we don't think in Hebrew. That's our problem. Problem is, a person who's not Israeli doesn't think in Hebrew. Yes. You know, that's why it's so hard for Israelis to pray. Because they really know what they're saying. It seems ironical, right? Mm-hmm. It's much harder to pray if you know what you're saying than if you don't know what you're saying. If you know what you're saying, it's really, yeah, okay, so I'm just saying the words. You feel good because I prayed, but I don't know what I'm saying. But it's easier to pray when you don't know what you're saying. But to say what you're, to know what you're saying and say it, it's much harder because then you have to mean it. I can't say something which I don't mean. I mean, so Israeli, that's why it's so big when Israeli prays, because he knows what he's saying and he's saying it. Because if he doesn't want to say it, he wouldn't say it. Very simple. If he doesn't really believe what he's saying, he wouldn't say it. Yeah. So just to think what a person's saying, how do people think of what they say? Boy, if we think what we say, we wouldn't say half the things we say. So a person's got to think the meaning of what we're saying in our prayers. That's number one. That's the first kavanah. Second kavanah. This is harder. This is much harder. V'yachshov ke'ilu shechina kenegdo. Person should think that the shechina is right there. Wow. How do you do that? Hashem is right there. That's hard. That's the hard part. The hard part of praying is really to feel like you're really praying to something. But not just praying to something. You're praying someone is right there. Something is there. We're not allowed to imagine the Shekhinah. How are a person going to think the Shekhinah is right there? We have to feel that. God's presence. We have to feel Hashem's presence over there. And that's why a person talks and chats. It's so bad. Why? Because they're just knocking out this feeling of the God being there. How can you have a person chit-chat to the friend and really feel that God is there? It's the opposite. When a person chit-chats to the friend about mundane things, they're saying God is not there. That's why it's so bad. Because you're meant to pray feeling that God is there. But if I'm chit-chatting to my friend, how am I feeling that God is there? So it's very important to be serious and feel God's presence. And that's the reason why Ben Ishchai says we go back 3 steps before we pray. Why do we go back 3 steps? It says they ran 3 mil away from Mount Sinai. The Jewish people, when they got this word, they ran 3 mil away. They just couldn't take the... Going to see God is just like terrifying. So they were terrified. We go back 3 steps to show that we're in awe. And then we go forward slowly. Okay, so that's second. Number two is that's harder. It's much easier to think about the meaning of the words than feel that God is there. But if we don't feel that God is there, then what's the point of praying? You know, who are we praying to? So it's very critical to feel that Hashem's presence is there. And you know what? The more we feel it's there, the more it's there. It's ironical. It all goes by our thoughts. Everything goes by our thoughts. If we believe in Hashem, Hashem is with us, Hashem says, I'll be with you. That's what it takes. Our minds trigger. So a person's got to think ke'ilu shechina kenegdo, as if the shechina is in front of him. That's number two. Number three. And it gets harder and harder. V'yasir kol ha'machshavot ha'trudot oto. A person's got to remove all the thoughts in his head. All the background radiation. You know, it's like a TV with static. I've seen a TV show with static in the old days. Cable not so much. In those days, you had these antenna on the roof, and you had the thing, and you're tuning in the old tuner sets to get the right clear signal, and you get all the static. Our minds are full of static all the time. And that's the hardest part. By the way, this is the hardest part of meditation. The hardest part of meditation is removing the static from a person's mind. Everyone's mind has static, non-stop, background radiation, non-stop. And these are the thoughts in a person's head when we're praying. When a person is praying, the mind is full of thoughts non-stop, and it's so hard to clear those thoughts. And that is number three. So it gets harder. This list is getting harder. Let's just go through the list. Number one is So think about the meaning of the words. Number two, think God is in front of you. Oh boy. Number three, to remove the static from one's mind, all the other thoughts in one's mind. Until a person's thoughts and intentions and meditation in his mind is pure in his prayers. This is going to be a real meditator to be able to do this. You're going to practice this. This is not easy. How are you going to remove all the thoughts from your head? It's very important. How do you do that? Again, this is not taught. No one teaches you. There's no system in a yeshiva to teach people how to do this. Like this. So let's start practicing emptying our mind from everything. Can you imagine what it's like to empty your mind? It's impossible. There's no such thing in nature as a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. And the same thing applies to a person's head. There are people who don't have anything in their minds. You know, they're Alzheimer's usually. They have nothing in their heads. Sickness. It's tragic. Because just when we get to the state that I can control what's in my mind, I don't have anything in my mind, that's the time I don't even know how to pray. I don't have an inkling. They have no inkling to pray. They have no inkling to do anything. They lose the inkling to do anything. So, the fact that we're alive, that's where the static comes from. It's life itself. The static is there from life. It's the static of life. But a person's got to learn how to control that static. And that's only one person really knew how to control the static, and that was Moshe Rabbeinu. Because his prophecy was like Aspaklaria HaMe'ira. It was like clear glass, that's what the rabbis say. What does that mean, clear glass? It means no static. No static completely. You can see the clear picture. All the other prophets got mashal, they got parables. Unclear. So can you imagine a person prays through this pure kavanah? That's what he said. The Shulchan said it's a halakha. This is not something which is advised. This is something which is halakha. We've got to try and work through this level. Through pure kavanah, bitfilato. V'yachshov ki ilu haya midaber lefnei merach basav adam. And a person's going to think, so now how does it get? A person gets to level. Okay. So now he's going to give us a little technique. It's a training technique. If you think as if you are going to approach a human king, the trouble is today we don't have human kings. We have presidents, which is not the same at all. Right? Especially American presidents. Right? No, not the same at all. A person would go into this, we have no idea what it's like to go to a human king. A person would be terrified. Imagine when you're going to read the story of Purim. Imagine going to see Ahasuerus. Esther was terrified. And she was his wife. She fasted for 3 days. If you go to see the king without being asked, off with his head. There's no off with the head. They don't even ask questions. They take the guy away, straight away to kill him. So if a person was going to go to ask a favor from a king, Hayam Mesader Dvarav, a person would be careful what they're going to say. They think about what they're going to say so carefully. And think about it so they don't trip on their words. We don't think enough. That's the trouble. We don't think enough what we're doing. How much more so in front of the King of God? He knows what's in our hearts and our heads. So this is a very important idea. What he's telling us over here is very important. It's very important to go through this and try and figure out a way of doing this. How does a person clear static from their heads? How does a person clear the static from their heads? And the answer is if you know you're going to that's a technique. If you know you're going to stand in front of a very important king, you're not going to think of other things when you stand right in front of him. Right? There's a beautiful story. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein was once held up by the Russians teaching Torah, and they made him stand at to attention without moving. I don't know how many hours he had to stand like that. He says from that day on he stopped shackling in his Shmoneh Esrei. He said that's. He learnt over there to stand in fear without moving. That's what fear is. Fear is don't move. In the presence of a king, you don't move. If you move, you attract attention. You don't attract the king's attention. So can you imagine standing over there in front of Ahasuerus, try and blend into the wall like a fly or something. Just try not to attract attention because he looks at you, you know. What it takes is a look. In those days, they would just look, take him away.
So this is like the opposite approach to what
was going on before,
because I mean it's the notion of
a vina malkeinu,
you know, that before we were like love of God, that's the way to get close to God,
rather than. Yeah, but there's love and fear. So it's like parents. Yeah. A person overdoes the love, but there's no awe, there's no respect. And everything falls apart. Everything
falls apart.
And that was in the Ed of Mishpatim, right? What happened to the elders of Bnei Israel? V'achlu v'ishtatu. What happened to them? It says Nadav and Aviv. That's one of the opinions. Nadav Aviv was the Chayav Mita over there because they're the ones who gazed. The Shekhinah, they're eating and drinking. So in other words, there's a barrier over there that a person shouldn't cross in front of God. Okay, it's Avinu, you're right. That's how we can pray. But you got to pray with awe. You've got to pray with awe. It's very hard.
It's so dangerous they ever do God, there's no life in you.
It's awe of your father. Put it that way. Respect your father. So how does a person respect their parents? You don't sit in their seat, you stand up when they walk in. Who does that today? Don't contradict what they say. Don't say, you're right, Dad. Who does this today? We need to practice this. This is not a respectful generation, unfortunately. We're not a respectful generation. So we have no idea even to respect Hashem. Okay, big deal. It's tragic. It's a tragedy. We're losing respect. We're losing this concept of respect. You know, today you talk about police. You know, there's no respect for policemen. A cop. You know, in England, at least when I was a kid, they had respect for policemen. Yes, sir. Today, cop. There's no respect. There's no respect. There's no respect for anyone.
It's one of the reasons Kibbud Av Ve'Im is one of the big 10.
Kibbud is not so hard. Kibbud is, what is kibbud? Kibbud is kavod, honor. What's honor? Giving. You give them food, you give them clothing, you give them this, whatever, they want something. But respect is something which today is... Giving is not so bad.
If we're told to respect our parents, it's easier to...
It's very hard to respect. Why? I told you, you have to stand up for them when they walk in. Have you seen anyone do that?
Well, but if they don't want you to, you don't have to.
If they don't insist, right. So that's it. That's the problem. Right there. Go on. Fell apart. Parents don't want us to do. So if I don't have to stand up, give them respect, so I won't give them respect. So people forgot to give them respect. There's no concept of respect anymore. That's the problem today. The concept of respect is forgotten. So the parents don't expect it, and the children say, oh, my parent doesn't expect it, I won't give it. So there's no respect. It's gone. It's a forgotten idea. Respect is forgotten. Teachers today in school, you know what it's like? If the teacher doesn't insist on it, there's no respect. Parents, you know, they don't give respect to their parents, they don't respect at home, no respect in the school. And you know what happens is that if I don't have to respect you, then I'm equal to you. If I'm equal to you, why do I need to learn from you? I'll teach you instead of you teaching me, you know, that's the problem today. And that's what the Gemara says. What does it say? Being fitted to Mashiach, chutzpah yiske. Let's say explicit. It says, in the time of Mashiach, chutzpah will be great. There will be a lot of chutzpah. And we're seeing it today. It's coming true in front of our eyes. Chutzpah yiske. It's a sign of the Mashiach. Yeah, chutzpah yiske. Never was like that when I grew up, boy, in England. Six of the best, boy. I went bent over that chair. I went to school, boy. Bent over the chair. We were terrified of our teachers.
Afraid of the ruler.
No, it wasn't a ruler, it was a cane. It was a cane. Well, you just get a slap on your head, bang. Wow, oh God, it hurt, that really hurt. Hey. But that was terrible. What a way to grow up, okay. But you still had awe and you had respect, okay. A little bit of force, okay. Whether you liked it or not, you had respect. Okay, I'm just saying. There's no concept. So if there's no concept of respect to our elders, how's the concept to respect of God? That's a trouble. So in those days, they had some kind of concept, you know, the king, and this, and that. People were scared of authority. Today, you go to court, there's no respect. There's no respect for anyone. The guy's going to go to jail. He doesn't have anything, he has respect for anything. Okay. But the idea over here is that a person should know where the source of everything. We have to know that everything is God's hands. And God has ultimate control over our destinies. And therefore, we have to show respect to Hashem. We have to know what we're saying. We have to measure our words. We're standing before the king. Okay, so now we come to the famous Gemara we talked about last week. The early pious ones. 1 hour before they pray, they would meditate. 1 hour during their prayers, they meditate. 1 hour after their prayers, they meditate. What are they doing? So Shulchan Aruch has a take on this. He's basing himself on the Torah. This is what the early pious ones were to do. Shayu, now we come to the other word, key word of meditation. Shayu mitbodedim. Here we are. What's mitbodedim?
Solitary.
Solitude. They were in solitude, mekavnin mitfilatan. And they were concentrating on the prayers. Now we call, this is a very high level of meditation. Ad shayu magim it pashtut hagashmiut, until they get to the point where they could remove all physicality. It gabrut koach hasichli, and the power of the mind would increase. Whereas there were no thoughts of food and lunch and breakfast and what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do today, where's my money going to come? No thoughts of physicality in the heads at all. Until their mind, the knowledge of the mind would increase. What does that mean? That means that, in other words, the focus of the mind now is on spiritual things, not on physical things. Until they would get in the prayers close to the level of prophecy. So now we know what prophecy is. Now, what is prophecy? He just tells us the secret of it. What is prophecy? Removing all thoughts of physicality from one's mind. Then a person gets close to prophecy. Then a person is ready to accept messages. There's no static. They're removing all the physical static from their mind. If you remove all the physical static from your mind, then you can prepare yourself to get a message. But the mind is full of static, you're not going to get messages. You may get messages, you're not going to feel the messages. The static is in the brain. Apparently, it depends. You need a lot of time to do it.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. He's saying the early pious ones, they had an hour to do it. It took them an hour. An hour is not much time. It's a lot of time, by the way, to sit down and just think. It's a lot of time. I don't know. Who sits over here for an hour? Today we're all in a rat race. They're in the Northeast. We're in Northeast America, the worst place in the world for meditation. It's the rat race. You don't have time to sit down for an hour. It's luxury. Sit down for an hour. What are you doing over here? You're sitting down. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? What are you doing? Yes, I'm trying to remove physicality from my mind. I'm trying not to think physical things. Oh boy, that's so hard. We're surrounded by physical things. So it's a different way of life, a different way of living.
So there are techniques to remove extreme.
Yeah, we have to talk about it. But it's very hard. See, there's nature abhors a vacuum. The trouble is you can't just remove it. You have to think you have to think about spirituality. It's like that's what Bill Nagel's famous mashal of the pit, right? Abor rik en bomayim, right? Pit of Joseph. The pit was empty and there was no water. Why does the Torah say there's no water? Obviously it's empty. And the answer is, two negatives imply positive. If it's empty and there's no water, there were snakes. That's what Rashi said. Rashi said, bring it close to the Midrash. If it's empty, obviously it's empty. So why does it say there's no water? Tell you there was something else in there. What was there in there? Snakes and scorpions. Oh boy. So Vilna Gaon says, if a person's mind is empty and there's no water, what's the water? Torah. There's no Torah in a person's brain. Automatically, it's going to be filled with snakes and scorpions. Very dangerous. So we see over here a very important idea. How does a person fill their minds with... How does a person get rid of all the physicality? Fill their minds with spirituality. And that's why the best vehicle to get to one's prayers is to learn Torah. But not machloket. Shukran is what we're going to see. A person shouldn't learn things which are the debates. Because then the mind is full of debates and they can't pray properly. So it's not good to learn Gemara before you pray. Ela mitoch halakha psuka. Through clear halakha. You should learn halakha and pray. That should remove a person's mind from physicality and raise them up to the level. But again, there's obviously other techniques we have to discuss. This is just touching the topics. We're just going to introduce you to points where we see, even the Rambam talks about meditation, he talks about hidbonenut, and the Shulchan Aruch is talking about hidbonenut. Boy, it's in the Shulchan Aruch, hidbonenut, and kavanah and hidbonenut. Kavanah, okay, we've seen kavanah in many places. Here it talks about hidbonenut. That the early pious ones, Shayum and Bodadim, they were separating themselves from society. Until they got to the point where they could, this is like Pashtut, it's just like uncovering themselves from physicality. Until the mind, the power of the mind was increased. Until they got close to the level of prophecy. Now, what happens if a person is praying and a thought comes into their head? What do you do? Yishtok. Don't talk. Don't pray. Stop. Stop praying. Until that thought goes away. Until you can uproot that. Like call up the fire extinguisher, put it out, that thought, and then continue. Amazing. צריך שיחשוב דברים מחדים, הלב מחברים אותו לאביו שבשמיים. And a person's got to think of thoughts that will make him humble and bring them closer to Hashem. And a person should not think of jokes and laughter at that time. Okay. All right. So that's the Shulchan Aruch. Now I'm going to go with the Ramah. The Ramah goes into more detail of what a person should think. V'yachshov kodem atfila. A person should think before they pray. What should they think? Romimut ha'el. The greatness of God. The greatness of God. Shiflut ha'adam. And the lowliness of man. Which seems like ironic, right? Like, we need God. A person should think before they pray. Why am I praying? Why do I need to pray? What's going to get me? Where's it going to get me? And the answer is, we're going before our Creator, and we're so small, we're so insignificant. We need so many things. We're going to ask for certain things. V'yasir kol ta'anugei ha'adam minibo. A person should not think of pleasures. Yeah, okay. That's it. That's what he adds. That's what he adds. Okay, so that's what he adds. So what do we have so far? We had ways to get close to God through love of God, through nature, through learning Torah and trying to use the Torah as a mechanism by which to get closer to God. We had ways to get close to God through tefillah. It's amazing. So you get close to God through nature, you get close to God through Torah, and you get close to God through tefillah. And tefillah over here, he says, very close to prophecy. It seems to be a much higher level. By the way, the Arizal says he would never let a pasuk go without thinking about it, maybe sometimes 1,000 times, till he found the secret of the pasuk. He'd meditate. Actually, he's talking about learning Zohar. he wouldn't let the line. No one understands Zohar. He said he would repeat it 1,000 times till the meaning would come to him. That's it. Meditate till
bang the table and then got it.
Sometimes the message comes. It's like a scientist. He's pondering a secret of Eureka. It's a Eureka moment. But it happens in Torah as well. Eureka moment. I was thinking. My rabbi in Israel, he was thinking all the time. Like, mind was like, you could see his mind was like extra big. He had a big, extra big brain. I mean, his brain was just, and sometimes you get sick from just thinking too much, exerting his brain. Just. So Ben Azman, he would go, he said he would sit outside in the street and watch people's faces in the bus station, just to relax and see. So Marabu Maaseh Hashem, look how many different faces Hashem created in the world. I don't know if that's a good idea today in the summertime, but in the wintertime for sure. Okay. So the third way is it's through prayer. To remove physicality from one's head. It's like undressing, ungarbing oneself of one's body, basically, that's what it's saying. Removing the physicality, which means taking off the physical body, and one is a pure soul. It's like when you pray, you should think, vision yourself, like you see people's, not their bodies, but the souls praying. That a person should remove themselves from all the physical thoughts, as if there's no body, imagine. Get to the point where there's no body. I'm not a body anymore, I'm a soul now. I'm a soul. Kol ha-neshama te'aleliyah ha-leliyah. David HaMelech says, right at the end of the Psalms, this is the most powerful Psalm, by the way, Psalm 150. We say before, Vayvarech David every day. It's interesting. Kol ha-neshama te'aleh liyah ha-leliyah. All our souls will pray to you. Nishmat kol chai te'vareich et shemcha. The soul of a person is praising God, not the person. It's not. Who's praising God? It's interesting. Who is praising God? So last week we talked about who we are, we're the interface. The body's not praising God. The body's the mechanism, the body's the mechanism to which to praise God. But the willingness to praise is coming from deep inside. That's the soul. It's coming from the Yetzirah Tov, which is the soul. So this is very powerful. So here we have Kavanah, and we have Hidbodidut. Shulchan Aruch brings us two other words, the key words of meditation are Kavana and Hidbodidut. Amazing. So we have to discuss this more in detail in our future classes. How does a person get to the level where they can clear their mind? And how can we focus clearly? And it's two different things. When a person's mind is clear, if you haven't slept well, it's very hard to have a clear mind. It's totally different experience, you know. There's a story in Hasidic literature about two guys who never slept. They try to learn day and night. One day they went to the rabbi and said, go to sleep. when they woke up, said, our minds are so clear. Well, I don't know how we learned before this. Like our minds were all so cluttered. We couldn't think straight. Imagine you're learning 2 o'clock in the morning and you haven't slept for 24 hours. How are you going to learn clearly? So it's very important to sleep and clear the mind. But sometimes person sleeps and they still don't know. So there's no guarantees. But this is amazing that we're gonna see techniques. A person who can really focus the mind can see things that people who don't focus can't see. But we'll stop here. We'll have to stop here and we'll continue next week. Happy Purim, everyone. Chag Sameach.
Sameach.